holy and living one. God be with you. Let us pray. Stir up your power, O Lord, and with great might come among us. And because we are sorely hindered by our sins, let your bountiful grace and mercy speedily help and deliver us. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, to whom with you and the Holy Spirit be honor and glory, now and forever. Amen.
A reading from the book of the prophet Zephaniah. Sing aloud, O daughter Zion, shout, O Israel. Rejoice and exult with all your heart, O daughter of Jerusalem. The Lord has taken away the judgments against you. He has turned away your enemies. The King of Israel, the Lord, is in your midst. You shall fear disaster no more. On that day it shall be said to Jerusalem, "Do not fear, O Zion. Do not let your hands grow weak. The Lord your God is in your midst, a warrior who gives victory. He will rejoice over you with gladness. He will renew you in his love. He will exult over you with loud singing as on a day of festival. I will remove disaster from you so that you will not bear reproach for it. I will deal with all your oppressors at that time. And I will save the lame and gather the outcast. And I will change their shame into praise and renown in all the earth. At that time, I will bring you home at the time when I gather you. For I will make you renowned and praised among all the peoples of the earth when I restore your fortunes before your eyes, says the Lord. The word of the Lord. A reading from Paul's letter to the Philippians. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say, rejoice. Let your gentleness be known to everyone. The Lord is near. Do not worry about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. The word of the Lord.
Let us attend to the Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, according to Luke.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
John said to the crowds that came out to be baptized by him, "You brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bear fruits worthy of repentance. Do not begin to say to yourselves, 'We have Abraham as our ancestor.' For I tell you, God is able from these stones to raise up children to Abraham. Even now, the axe is lying at the root of the trees. Every tree, therefore, that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire." And the crowds asked him, "What then should we do?" In reply, he said to them, "Whoever has two coats must share with anyone who has none, and whoever has food must do likewise. Even tax collectors came to be baptized, and they asked him, 'Teacher, what should we do?' He said to them, 'Collect no more than the amount prescribed for you.' Soldiers also asked him, 'And we, what should we do?' He said to them, 'Do not extort money from anyone by threats or false accusation, and be satisfied with your wages.' As the people were filled with expectation and all were questioning in their hearts concerning John, whether he might be the Messiah, John answered all of them by saying, 'I baptize you with water, but one who is coming more powerful than I is coming. I am not worthy to untie the thong of his sandals. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. His winnowing fork is in his hand to clear his threshing floor, to gather the wheat into his granary, but the chaff he will burn with unquenchable fire.' So, with many other exhortations, he proclaimed the good news to the people." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
I would venture to say that not many of you have read the book of the prophet Zephaniah. Zephaniah is one of the sort of lesser known, lesser attended to prophets. And because of that, because we don't get much Zephaniah in the lectionary, this reading today could be very deceptive. You read the reading, that the first reading we heard today, and it sounds like Zephaniah is a happy guy, that Zephaniah is a cheery prophet. Don't be deceived. The very first chapter of Zephaniah, God's coming to wipe everybody out, taking names and keeping a list. God is definitely upset. God says everybody's in trouble. God goes through a list of problems with all the nations and then says to Israel, and don't think you're any better off. Startlingly negative, dark beginning of that book. And then, the reading we heard today. It is experiences reading like that that we encounter many times in the prophets and elsewhere in Scripture that leads many people to say that God is a God of dramatic reversals. That God changes God's mind rather suddenly. That God snatches victory from the jaws of defeat all the time. That God changes things in a hurry. I always chuckle when people tell me I don't like change. I want to say, have you read the Bible? The reason that happens, I am convinced that the reason that happens is because God does everything perfectly. And we don't do everything perfectly. And one of the things, therefore, that God does perfectly is forgive. And forgiveness is hard work. Forgiveness is very hard work. We minimize the practice of forgiveness. We say things like, oh, forgive and forget. I've let that go. I've forgiven. I've forgotten. And then later I find myself acting out of those old hurts and wounds. Happens all the time. Simply put, to really forgive, you have to get a little bit in touch with how much, precisely how much, the person you want to forgive has hurt you, has wounded you, has offended you. In order to truly forgive, you have to be aware of that. Think about it, reflect on it, and then forgive. God does that perfectly. So when we read prophets like Zephaniah, and the prophecy starts in the early parts of the book with God going, this is wrong, and that's wrong, and the other thing's wrong, and this is, and that's wrong, and the other thing is wrong, and let's go through that list again, because I can add more, and this is the problem, and you all are in for it. And then rejoice, for God has forgiven. That is God doing the hard work of forgiveness, because God does everything perfectly, including forgive. Including forgive. And so when God does take an honest look at everything, and God does decide that Israel has been unfaithful in Israel's relationship with God, God sees that for what it really is and then forgives. We're not hiding anything from God. And God loves us perfectly. And God forgives perfectly. It's important for us to recognize this. We are moving into a time in our liturgical year when we begin and enter upon an extended meditation on Christ's birth, life and ministry and death and resurrection. And as we enter into this time of extended meditation on those mysteries, it helps us, it behooves us to see God's real and profound work on our behalf by remembering that God does the hard work, the honest work of forgiveness and love and grace. There's value in that. There's value in that. In John, you've heard me say this before, in the passage we heard from John today, right? They tell us in seminary, don't start your sermon, you brood of vipers. It's not a good idea. It's not a good way to start a sermon these days. And it's true. But what John is doing there is he's challenging people to go deeper. He's saying, don't think just because you ran out here to see me, you can say, see, I went and saw John in the wilderness. I'm cool. I'm good. It doesn't work that way. And don't try to short circuit the hard work of either repentance or forgiveness by saying, we have Abraham as our ancestor. Or let me bring that home a little bit. I'm a cradle Episcopalian. Right? Right? And so we want to depend on pedigree to make sure to tell ourselves we're okay. You are okay. That's not in debate. You are okay. It's why you're okay that's in debate. You're not okay because of anything you did. You are not okay because you're perfect. You are okay because God loves you perfectly. That's why you're okay. And the desire on the part of our scripture to have us take a look at our own sinfulness and our own weaknesses and failings, our own, this is the one I hate to deal with, my own stubbornness. We're asked to look at those, not because we should feel bad about ourselves, not because we should grovel, but so that we can notice that God sees all those things too, and forgives, and loves, and sends grace. That's an amazing thing on God's part. To do forgiveness and love and grace perfectly. It's an amazing thing. So John says, all right, you know, don't think because you're doing a nice little spiritual work that you're okay. You came out here to see me in the desert and you let me dunk you. Okay, that's good. But you need to go deeper than that. Don't think it's pedigree that makes you okay, because it doesn't. God sees your stuff. God sees my stuff. God sees our stuff. Don't think God doesn't. And God forgives. And God sends the Christ. And God does all these amazing things that God does. So people say to John, so John, what should we do? And what I want you to notice is that he doesn't tell them things to do to be right. Because that would recreate the problem that he started his homily with. Right? It's not you do these things and you're right with God. It's you do these things and you start to live in line with the energy and the flow of God's perfect forgiveness and love. In other words, he's saying, get on board with the program. Not earn your salvation or earn your grace or earn your forgiveness, but get on board. Get in line with the flow of God's love and God's energy towards all of creation. So if you have two coats, share with somebody who doesn't have one. Somebody's hungry, feed them. It's not hard. Soldiers, tax collectors, don't extort and cheat people. Get in line with this amazing forgiving energy that's coming your way. That's how John could do a baptism of repentance, because he believed that repentance puts us in line with the flow of energy that comes from God that is perfectly loving and perfectly forgiving. It's not about earning it. It's about flowing with it. That's the challenge of the spiritual life, to flow with the work that God is doing, to touch into the energy of love and forgiveness that God is constantly exuding, perfectly exuding. That's the challenge, right? And so the text even shows us that, right? The last little section, we break away from John's homily, and now for an important commercial message, and we get people wondering whether or not John's the Messiah. And he says, no, it's not me. I'm just a, you know, pointer. I'm not worthy to untie his sandals. In other words, John avoids the opportunity to use position or role or pedigree or whatever else, spiritual practice, to exalt himself, but to say, I'm depending on the one that's coming just like you are. Just like we all are. That's the challenge in these texts. The challenge is one of courage. The challenge is one of self-reflection. The opportunity is that we can look at ourselves for who we really, really, truly are. And we'll see parts of us that we don't like and that we don't want to look at. And we'll see parts of us that we like and love to look at. That's the way it is. And God sees all of it. And the promise is that God sees all of it and is perfectly loving and perfectly forgiving and continually sending forth graceful energy in our direction. That's who God is. That's what God does. There is an understanding of prayer as sharing who you really are and where you really are emotionally, spiritually, and like with God. That's an understanding of prayer. And we can share with God the good stuff and the bad stuff. And God happily receives it. There's an old teaching in the Talmud that says that God prays. And somebody says, well, what does God pray for? And who does God pray to? Well, God prays perfectly, so that's where you share who you are completely with God. So God prays, may it be my will that my mercy overcomes my judgment and wrath. Because mercy is who God really is in God's depth. So the prayer shows us that's who God is, mercy. But it's perfect mercy, perfect forgiveness, perfect love that takes account of all the problems and all the faults and then forgives. That's the challenge. As we enter into deeply exploring the mystery of Christ, remember that God perfectly forgives you, that God perfectly loves you, that God perfectly redeems you, that God perfectly sends you grace. Start to believe that and see what happens.
As you are able, please stand.
And let us proclaim our faith, which covers the earth and spans the ages, by reciting the Nicene Creed. We believe in one God,
Father, maker of heaven and earth, all that is seen and unseen.
We believe in one Lord, Jesus Christ,
the only Son of God,
eternally begotten of the Father,
God from God,
light from light,
true God from true God,
begotten, not made,
of one being with the Father.
Through him all things were made.
For us and for our salvation,
he came down from heaven, was incarnate from the Holy Spirit and the Virgin Mary, and became truly human. For our sake he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day he rose again, in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father, who with the Father and the Son is worshipped and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy, Catholic, and apostolic Church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sin. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. God of the waiting, give us courage to wait with those in the most broken places of the world.
Gracious God, most of us experience life as a feast of opportunities. We give you thanks for these many blessings, and we pray for those whose lives are far from the abundance you intend. We pray particularly for all who are sick and all who are addicted, remembering especially Stephen, Ruthie, Ron, George, Hope, Charlotte, Carolyn, Caitlin, Pete, Nancy, John, Carol, Todd, Ben, Arlene, Mary, Kobe, Richard, Peg, Jan, Linda, Danica, Sarah, Tom, Victor, Rusty, Mike, Pam, Quinn, Sandy, Judy, and all who are affected by natural disaster.
Empower us and all people who struggle to be bearers of hope.
Long-awaited Savior, fill our hearts with courage and peace.
We pray with those who wait for wars to stop, for violence to cease.
We pray for all who work for justice and peace. We pray for the nations and all in authority, including Donald, our president, and the legislative and judicial branches of our government. We also pray for those who serve in our armed forces, especially Courtney, Joe, Kristen, Nathan, Sarah, and Stephen.
God of the waiting, transform our conflicts into your peaceful reign.
Long-awaited Savior, fill our hearts with courage and peace.
We pray for those who, in their grief, struggle to feel the coming hope, particularly those who grieve their jobs, their joy, or those whom they love.
We pray for those who have died, Dan, Tomio, Quay, Ken, and Darlene.
God of the waiting, comfort us with your power and grace.
Long-awaited Savior, fill our hearts with courage and peace.
We lift before you the Anglican Communion, the Episcopal Church, our diocese, St. Luke's, and faithful people everywhere.
We pray for Michael, our presiding bishop, Wayne, our bishop, Randall, our priest, Greg, our deacon, Michael and Frankie in formation for holy orders, and all people in their vocations and ministries. We also remember before you Mary, the God-bearer, Luke and John, our patrons, Dorothy, Olympias, Samson, Katharina, Thomas, Henry, Ruth, whom we commemorate this week.
God of the waiting, by your unmeasured mercy, grant that we may serve you with undivided hearts, live together in unbroken community, and greet you with unending praise.
Long-awaited Savior, fill our hearts with courage and peace.
We give you thanks for your many blessings, which fill our waiting with joy and give us a foretaste of our fulfillment.
We pray for those celebrating birthdays, George, Jean, Pauline, Janet, Holly, Robert, Kathy, and for those celebrating wedding anniversaries, Anne and Rick, Judy and Phil, Carrie and Jevon, Patty and Bob, Julie and Greg, Sarah and Barrett. We give thanks for the baptismal anniversaries of Eric, Avery, Joan, and Cicely.
God of the waiting, help us to find the wonder of expectation. God of generations, your promises come to birth in surprising ways. Fill our hearts with courage and hope, and fill our dreams with visions of new life, so that we may live according to your word and love with the fullness of your grace. In the holy name of Jesus, our Savior.
Amen.
Let us confess our sins against God, our neighbors, and ourselves. God of all mercy, we confess our sins against you.
Almighty God, have mercy on us, forgive us all our sins through the grace of Jesus Christ. Strengthen us in all goodness, and by the power of the Holy Spirit, keep us in eternal life.
Amen.
The peace of the Lord be always with you. Shema Yisrael, Adonai Eloheinu, Adonai Echad. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. Praise you and we bless you, holy and gracious God, source of life abundant. From before time you made ready the creation. Your spirit moved over the deep, and brought all things into being. Sun, moon, and stars, earth, winds, and waters, and every living thing. You made us in your image and taught us to walk in your ways. But we rebelled against you and wandered far away. And yet, as a mother cares for her children, you would not forget us. Time and again you called us to live in the fullness of your love. And so this day we join with saints and angels in the chorus of praise that rings through eternity, lifting our voices to magnify you as we sing. To you, holy and living God, to deliver us from the power of sin and death and to reveal the riches of your grace. You looked with favor upon Mary, your willing servant, that she might conceive and bear a son, Jesus, the Holy Child of God. Living among us, Jesus loved us. He broke bread with outcasts and sinners, healed the sick, and proclaimed good news to the poor. He yearned to draw all the world to himself. Yet we were heedless of his call to walk in love. Then the time came for him to complete upon the cross the sacrifice of his life and to be glorified by you. On the night before he died for us, Jesus was at table with his friends. He took bread, gave thanks to you, broke it, and gave it to them and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." As supper was ending, Jesus took the cup of wine, and when he had given thanks to you, he gave it to them and said, "Drink this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is poured out for you and for all for the forgiveness of sins. Whenever you drink it, do this for the remembrance of me."
Therefore, according to his command, O Father,
we remember his death, we proclaim his resurrection, we await his coming in glory. Now gathered at your table, O God of all creation, and remembering Christ crucified and risen, who was and is to come, we offer you our gifts of bread and wine and ourselves a living sacrifice. Pour out your Spirit upon these gifts, that they may be the body and blood of Christ. Breathe your Spirit over the whole earth and make us your new creation, the body of Christ given for the world you have made. In the fullness of time, bring us with John the Baptist, Mary the God-bearer, and all your saints from every tribe and language and people and nation to feast at the banquet prepared from the foundation of the world. Through Christ and with Christ and in Christ, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, to you be honor, glory, and praise forever and ever. Amen.
And now, as our Savior Christ has taught us, we are bold to say,
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us.
And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
The gifts of God for the people of God.
Take them in remembrance that Christ died for you, and feed on him in your hearts by faith with thanksgiving. Craig, Chris, Sue, I send you forth bearing these holy gifts, that those to whom you go may share with us in the communion of Christ's body and blood. We who are many are one body, because we all share one bread, one cup. Amen.
Let us pray. God of abundance, you have fed us with the bread of life and the cup of salvation, and you have made us one with all your people in heaven and on earth. Now send us forth in the power of your Spirit, that we may proclaim your redeeming love to the world, and continue forever in the risen life of Christ our Savior. Amen.
Please be seated. As you are able, please stand.
May Christ, the Son of Righteousness, shine upon you and scatter the obstacles from before your path. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be amongst us and remain with us forever. Amen.
Go in peace to love and serve the Lord.